Well, thank you very much, everybody. It's great to have you. And we have a very special person, just won a tremendous election in a record-setting fashion, so you have something in common. And I was very proud and honored to endorse the prime minister because of the fact that I felt she was really good. I thought she did a fantastic job. I respect her a lot, so I gave her an endorsement. And she had the most successful election, in my opinion, in the history of Japan, won by the most ever. So we have a very popular, powerful woman, and she's a great woman. We have a very fine relationship, and we're going to be talking about trade and many other things. And it's an honor to have you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
絆を持っておりまして、だからこそ、私の方からも応援のメッセージを出させていただきました。素晴らしい人であり、私も心から尊敬している方です。日本の歴史上最も素晴らしい選挙で圧勝したということで、人気の高い女性であり、すごい方だと私も思っております。本日に関しては貿易、その他の課題について
Thank you, Donald, for inviting me to the White House today.
Thank you.
My visit is timely. So, given the current situation.
Please.
Thank you, Donald, for inviting me to the White House today.
Thank you.
My visit is timely. So, given the current situation, so.
Oh, please, yes, okay. Absolutely. You have a very good interpreter.
Yeah.
Who I've known
your
for,
friend.
Who I've known
your
for
friend.
A long time. With Shinzo,
your
right?
friend. 今、中東情勢も含めて、それから世界中の安全保障環境が非常に厳しい状況にあります。
Right now, situations in the Middle East and also the entire world, we are actually experiencing a very severe security environment. And also the global economy is now about to experience a huge hit because of this development. But even against such backdrop, I firmly believe that it is only you, Donald, who can achieve peace across the world.
And to do so, I
am ready to reach out to many of the partners in the international community to achieve our objective together. So today, I came here at the White House to directly convey this message to you.
そして、イランに関してはもう核兵器の開発、これは許されてはならないことですから、日本も働きかけをしてきました。
And speaking of the situation in Iran, Iran's development of nuclear weapons must never be allowed. And that is why we, Japan, have been urging them and also reaching out to other partners in the world. In addition, Japan condemns Iran's actions such as attacking the neighboring region and also the de facto or effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz. As a matter of fact, my fellow minister, Minister Motegi, Foreign Minister Motegi also had a direct exchange with the Iranian foreign minister and urged Iran to stop such activities.
して、
それで、とにかく今、中東だけじゃなくてインド太平洋の安全保障環境も大変厳しい中にあります、そんな中でドナルドが日本に深い信頼を寄せてくれて、で揺るぎない同盟にコミットメントしてくれていることに感謝をいたしております。
And also the security environment in the Indo-Pacific region is also becoming increasingly severe. Donald, you have shown deep trust in Japan and also the unwavering commitment to the Japan-US alliance. Once again, thank you very much for that.
今日は日本とアメリカが共に強く豊かになっていくための話し合いをしたいと思っています。
And today,I look forward to having a discussion on how we can cooperate to make our two nations, both Japan and the United States, stronger and more prosperous.
それから世界のエネルギーマーケットを落ち着かせるための提案も、持ってまいりました。
And I also brought specific proposals to calm down the global energy market.
この後、主に、経済安全保障、重要鉱物ですとかエネルギーに関する協力、そしてお互いに強い経済を作るための、成長のための話し合い、経済成長のための話し合いをしたいと思っています。 Thank you, Donald.
So today, I really look forward to having our discussion, particularly focusing on our collaboration in economic securityin the important areas such as energy and rare earth minerals, and also I look forward to discussing with you how we can make our two economies stronger moving forward. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and you're doing a great job. Again, congratulations on the biggest win in the history of Japan. That's not bad. That's a pretty long history. That's a large nation with a great reputation, but it's a tremendous victory. Congratulations to everybody. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. We've become friends, and I'm very proud of the job you've done. It's not easy. Any questions, please?
Mr. President, are you fully satisfied with the level of support that you're getting from Japan on Iran, including around minesweepers?
Well, we're going to be speaking about it today. Go ahead, you can go.
日本から、飛来艇などの支援に関して、その点について今の状況に満足していらっしゃいますか？
We're going to be speaking about it today. We've had tremendous support and relationship with Japan on everything. And I believe that based on statements that were given to us yesterday, the day before yesterday, having to do with Japan, they are really stepping up to the plate. Yes.Unlike NATO.
NATO とは全く違いますね。
Please.
Mr. President, do you intend to lift sanctions on Iranian oil, and do you intend to potentially put U.S. troops or more troops in the region?
No, I'm not putting troops anywhere. If I were, I certainly wouldn't tell you.But I'm not putting troops, and we will do whatever is necessary to keep the price as low. I actually thought when I did this, look, the Dow just hit 50,000 a couple of weeks ago. They said that couldn't happen for 4 years. It wouldn't happen in my term. It's such an outrageous thing because I said it would happen. I didn't know it was going to happen that fast, but it just hit 50,000. And we did that in 1 year, not four. S&P had just hit 7,000. They said that was even more impossible than the Dow hitting 50. And we did that in 1 year. So it was all done. Everything was going great. The economy was great. Oil prices were very low. Gasoline was dropping to, we had $1.99, $1.85. We had great everything. And I saw what was happening in Iran. And I said, I hate to make this excursion, but we're going to have to do it. And I actually thought the numbers would be worse. I thought thatit would go up more than it did. But we're doing this excursion, and when it's completed, we're going to have a much safer world. And the Prime Minister agrees with me on this. She considers it to be terrible what Iran did. I think every country does, just about every country does. Iran is a serious threat to the world, to the Middle East and to the world. And everybody agrees with me. I think virtually every country agrees with me on that. So I wanted to put out that fire. And I said, you know, if I do that, oil prices will go up, the economy will go down a little bit. I thought it would be worse, much worse, actually. I thought there was a chance it could be much worse. It's not bad. And it's going to be over with pretty soon. We've obliterated the Navy. We've obliterated their just about everything there is to obliterate, including leadership. Their Navy's gone. Their Air Force is gone. Their anti-aircraft equipment is gone. We're flying wherever we want, Pete. We have nobody even shooting at us. They have, I mean, and as you know, their leadership is gone. Their leaders are gone. They pick new leaders, they're gone. They pick new leaders, they're gone. And now they're looking for new leaders again. We can take out the island if anytime we want. I call it the little oil island that sits there, so totally unprotected. And we've taken out everything but the pipes. We left the pipes because to rebuild the pipes would take years for, you know, for them to do. We are substantially ahead of schedule. And I had to do this. I call it an excursion. I had to take this little excursion and do something that no other president had the courage to do. And everybody wanted to do it, but they never had the courage to do. And I don't blame them. I'm not blaming them. It was left to me, and we've done a great job. Our military is incredible. We have an incredible military. We have the strongest military in the world by far. We have the greatest equipment in the world by far. In fact, Japan buys our equipment, buys a lot of it, and we're honored by that. And that's one of the things we'll be talking. They want to buy a lot of the military equipment. So it's just an honor to have the Prime Minister. We've had a tremendous relationship. Okay.
Mr. President.
I think she's going to have to go first before you. Is that okay? Do you understand? It's very good. I'll tell you. She's I mean, it's so nice that we don't have to sit. No, it's very good. I haven't picked up your language, so the next time you come, I'll have your language mastered. All right, go ahead.
If the war is almost over, why is the Pentagon going to ask Congress for an additional $200 billion?
Well, we're asking for a lot of reasons beyond even what we're talking about in Iran. This is a very volatile world, and the military equipment, the power of some of this weaponry is unthinkable. You don't even want to know about it. Oh, you could end this thing in 2 seconds if you wanted to, but we are being very judicious. But we want to do, don't forget, Biden gave away, I rebuilt the military my first time. Biden gave away so stupidly to Afghanistan a lot. He didn't want to move it. He was too lazy, too stupid to move it. But it was a very small amount. It was a lot, but it was very small relative to what I purchased and what I built. We want to have vast amounts of ammunition, which we have right now. We have a lot of ammunition, but it was taken down by giving so much to Ukraine. They gave so much. You know, Biden gave $350 billion worth of cash and military equipment to Ukraine, and he didn't rebuild anything. Fortunately, we have a lot. We have a tremendous, unlimited supply of what you'd call middle and upper middle armaments and military equipment, munitions, armaments, but munitions in particular. At the high end, we have a lot, but we're preserving it. We don't really need it. But we're building our manufacturers of military equipment are building at a level they've never seen before, they've never done before. Pete's in charge of it with all of us, really. But Pete's been very, very strong on it. The general and Pete, myself, the whole group. And Raytheon is building 4 factories. Lockheed is building 5 or 6 factories. And they're building them fast because we had a very tough meeting with them. They were going out and buying back stock for $51 billion in one case. They spent $51 billion buying back stock. Now they're not allowed to do that. And they are now building a tremendous, there's never been anything like it, what's taking place right now. So we're in very good shape, but we want to be in the best shape we've ever been in. We were that, you know, when I rebuilt the military, we were in great shape, and then Biden blew it. And he didn't do anything. He didn't build, he didn't do anything. And if you listen to the Democrats, they don't even want to have a military. Now you see how important it is. But we have the strongest military in the world. We have the best equipment. We make by far the best equipment. The other night, they had 114 rockets shot at a certain location. And out of 100 highly sophisticated rockets, out of 114 sophisticated rockets, every single one of them was shot down with our equipment. All our equipment. It's amazing, actually, how good it is. So we want to be sure, and it's a small price to pay to make sure that we stay tippy-top.
Mr. President,
the Treasury Secretary this morning said there were defections among Iranian leadership. Are you aware of that, and is there anybody the U.S. can work with as a leader going forward?
Well, we have a man named the Treasury Secretary here, so maybe maybe he wants to discuss it. Does anybody know? Do you know who he is? Central Casting.
Yeah, so Ed, we are seeing the defections at all levels as they're starting to sense what's going on with the regime. It doesn't get reported here in the U.S. very well, but you know, we are trouncing them from the air, and the regime will probably collapse within itself. At Treasury, we've seen where they wire their money out of the country. We're coming for that. We're going to get it back to the Iranian people.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, seeing defections?
Yes, Israel.
There's a lot of military defections also. You have a lot of military defections in Iran. I don't blame them.
Thank you, Mr. President. Have you talked to Prime Minister Netanyahu about attacking the oil and gas fields?
Yeah, I did. I did. I told him, don't do that. And he won't do that. We didn't discuss. You know, we do, we're independent. We get along great. It's coordinated, but on occasion he'll do something, and if I don't like it, and so we're not doing that anymore.
And the last one, if I could, the Fed chairman told me yesterday that he plans to stay until a new Fed chairman is confirmed, and he also plans to stay on the board until the investigation of the Federal Reserve is done.
Well, he's under investigation because he's building a building for hundreds of billions of dollars more than it's supposed to cost. The building you see over there is under budget and ahead of schedule. That's the ballroom. The ballroom is a much bigger building. It's a much more complex building than what he's doing, and it's at a fraction of the cost. Something is going on, whether it's contractors. That's what I do best in the world. I build. I build great buildings. I've always done it. And I build them under budget and ahead of schedule. They could have $4 billion. This is a renovation job for $4 billion. And if you look at the building, it's not even — I don't know if Kevin Warsh is ever going to be able to move into it. It's been under construction for years. It's the most expensive building ever built. Now, I know it's gross incompetent because I happen to think he's grossly incompetent. Today, certainly, you should be lowering interest rates, all right? Certainly, who would not lower them? But he's stubborn, and he's got Trump derangement syndrome. But a lot of people have that, you know? It's not a curable disease. But he's also building. He should be lowering rates immediately. But he won't do that because he's a stubborn, incompetent person. And that's a bad thing. You know, when you're stubborn and incompetent, I think it's the worst combination. And he's also not a smart person. But he's building a complex over there that's under his jurisdiction. He started it. And it's out of control. It's billions of dollars for a little building. I could have done that building and made it beautiful for $25 million. $25 million, and it would have been beautiful. Look what I've done at the White House, fixing it up. And I mean, the place was in bad shape. You see the floors and everything. It was in bad shape. I could have made that building beautiful for $25 million. They're spending $4 billion. All right? So there is criminality. Maybe it's with the contractor. But because I know more about contractors than any human being maybe that's ever lived. But that contractor is a very rich man. Whoever the contractor is, and we know, but whoever the contractor is an extremely rich man. He's going to make, I mean, he could make billions of dollars. I'm hearing numbers from $3 to $4 billion. That would make it the most expensive building on a square foot basis ever built in history. And you're not even building a building. It's a renovation. The exterior skin is staying. The steel is staying. The structure. So all I want to do is bring out to the public that this guy is an incompetent. He's a very incompetent guy. And he may be a dishonest guy, but somebody's dishonest because there's no way that building can be $3 to $4 billion.
Mr. President, you just mentioned Japan.
This looks like one of your people. Right?
Thank you.
Is he good or bad? Good. Is he a good reporter or bad? Don't you know?
So-so.
All right, looks like a nice guy. Go ahead.
Mr. President, you just mentioned Japan is stepping up. What kind of support do you expect from Japan in the future?
Look, I expect Japan to step up because, you know, we have that kind of relationship. And we step up for Japan. We have 45,000 soldiers in Japan. We have we spend a lot of money on Japan. So, and we've had that kind of a relationship. So I expect, I'm not surprised that they would step up. We don't need much. We don't need anything. I mean, honestly, we don't need anything from Japan or from anyone else. But I think it's appropriate that people step up. In the case of Japan, I hear they get more than 90% of their oil through the strait. Yes. So that's a big reason to step up. I mean, we've demolished, that country is close to demolished. The only thing is the strait. It's very hard. You could take two people and they could drop little bombs in the water and they're holding things up. We don't want that to happen. But honestly, Japan, China, Europe, parts of Europe, get a lot of their oil through the strait. We get none, practically. We're less than 1%. We don't have to be any percent. We don't even, I think we do it just to be nice. But we, think of it, we don't use the strait. We're defending the strait for everybody else. And then in the case of NATO, they don't want to help us defend the strait, and they're the ones that need it. But now they're getting much nicer because they're seeing my attitude. They're getting much nicer. But it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's too late. You know, UK wants to send aircraft carriers now. And I said, I want the aircraft carriers before the war. I don't want them after the war is won. They want to send me aircraft carriers after the war. There's practically nobody to shoot at them. You know, their missile count is down, Pete. Maybe you could discuss it by about 90-something percent. The drones are way down, and the factories are being demolished. Maybe.
Yes, sir. Our missiles being shot are down over 90% since the beginning. One-way attack drones down 90% since the beginning, which is a reflection of overwhelming firepower. But you mentioned the most important part, Mr. President, their defense industrial base. If you can't make more of it in the future, then you have a limited supply. And so we're going after all of their defense contractors that make all of their exquisite weapons and ensuring that even if they wanted to rebuild more launchers or more missiles, they couldn't in the future. And that's a level of devastation for their military that they've never seen before.
So we have, in literally 2 weeks, we've demolished their Navy, their Air Force. All technology is gone. All communication is gone. And all of the leaders are gone. Other than that, they're doing quite well. Okay. How about one more question for the Prime Minister? Let me pick a beautiful-looking person from Japan. A question for the Prime Minister. Go ahead. Yeah, sure. Oh, he doesn't believe he's beautiful.
Oh,
okay. He's sounding shy.
Go ahead, people. Of course, no. Japan and U.S. are a very good friend, but. One question, why didn't you tell U.S. allies in Europe and Asia, like Japan, about the war before attacking Iran? So we are very confused about we Japanese citizens.
Well, one thing, you don't want to signal too much. You know, when we go in, we went in very hard, and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay? Right? You know, he's asking me, no, you believe in surprise, I think, much more so than us. And we had to surprise him, and we did. And because of that surprise, we knocked out, the first 2 days, we probably knocked out 50% of what we, and much more than we anticipated doing. So, if I go and tell everybody about it, there's no longer a surprise, right? Okay, one more, one more, one more for you. One more for the Prime Minister.
Mr. President.
Are you good for the Prime Minister?
Yes. Okay.
Go ahead, for the Prime Minister.
Thank you very much. Japan's 2J Press. Japan's biggest concern is China. Now they're giving us export control and, very harsh terms to criticize us. So will you plan to bring up relationship between Japan and China while you're there?
Yeah. Well, I'll be going to China very quickly, but I think I'd really like to have the Prime Minister talk about China, because I know they have a little bit of an edgy relationship, and I'd just like to know where it stands, how you're doing with China. So, please.
で、日本はいつも中国に対してオープンです。会話をオープンにしています。それから、冷静に対応しています。で、とにかく米中関係も含めてですね、これが地域の安定、それから世界のサプライチェーン、これに貢献するものであることを願っています。日本は常にオープンです。
So first of all, Japan has been consistently open to dialogue with China. And also, second, we have been addressing our relations with China in a calm manner. And also, speaking of the U.S.-China relationship,My sincere hope is that the relationship will be something conducive for regional security and also ensuring the global supply chain in the world. Once again, I would like to reiterate that Japan has been consistently open to dialogue with China.
And I think we're going to have a great trip. The trip has been postponed for about a month and a half. It's been reset, and we look forward to it.And I'll be speaking Japan's praises when I'm in China with President Xi. But we're going to have some good talks today. And I think mostly about trade, because they want to do a lot of trade. They're a tremendous purchaser of our energy, our oil, gas, from in particular Alaska. Because Alaska, believe it or not, is very close. It's much closer than any other source. It seems a little cold compared to, it's just a short trip.
So that's something that we will talk after the press corps.
We'll be discussing trade, and a lot of the talk will be about energy. Thank you very much, everybody.